Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the reality is, I am happy that we're out of Afghanistan. I give Joe Biden credit for having the backbone and the spine to say we're getting out. We're not leaving this to someone else. And seriously, he could have gone, thump the chest. We're staying. We're going to escalate. We're going to send more people. And this could have blown back up. And I give him credit for not doing that because, look, that's what the last administration did. They came into office saying we're getting out, and we didn't get out. Same thing with the administration before that. We didn't get out. Joe Biden got us out. Whatever you think about how we got out, we're out. And now moving forward, one, I want to hold people accountable who got us in and then undo some of the damage that was done 20 years ago. And a big part of that for me is the Patriot Act, the Department of Homeland Security, the surveillance state that has been built around us. And here to share some thoughts on maybe how we do that, I'll explain what a little bit of it is, and how we get rid of it. I've asked Max Burns to come talk with us. Max has got a new piece out, Forever Wars Won't End If the Surveillance State's Still Here. Max, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So you got this piece over at the Daily Beast, which I think is the right time for this. We most certainly, out of Iraq, out of Afghanistan, we got to undo some of the damage that they did with the code green, yellow, purple, with all the codes and all the nonsense that they got away with as people were running in fear.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And a lot of Democrats and Republicans have sort of celebrated the end of the war on terror, the end of these foreign wars. But that's really only half of the war. The other half was waged in the United States with legislation, with the Department of Homeland Security, with TSA, with a whole host of surveillance policies that have not only been re-upped year after year, but have been expanded to the point where now we risk this becoming a perpetual surveillance infrastructure, even after the wars it was designed to support have ended.
Yeah, do you think we ever go back, though? I mean, because look, it's become so ingrained. There are cameras everywhere. Police cars are outfitted with license plate readers, and there are companies who are doing much crazier things, facial recognition software everywhere. All of this stuff. This is an industry now of how to spy on us, gather information for governments and for corporate America. Is there any way of closing this door, putting the genie back in the bottle?
It's tough. And I think that we knew that from the beginning. I mean, there's a reason it's the Department of Homeland Security and not the Department of the War on Terror. These things were designed to distance themselves from their reasons for existing, to ensure in a way that they would exist forever. These are organizations that have received budget boosts under Democrats and Republicans and have become such an ingrained part of life that it's the equivalent of asking Democrats to step up and cut Medicare. These things are programs that have convinced Americans in large part that they keep us safe when in fact they've largely been viewed as useless by the intelligence community for at least the last half decade.
But we feel better. Now, I remember going back before the Patriot Act was passed, where I lived in Allentown, the League of Women Voters put together a panel, and it was a great discussion. They had six panelists, three people who were for it, three people who were against it, and the crowd was overwhelmingly in favor of passing it. And the three people who, let me ask you the question. If there are six people on a panel, three or four, three are against, how many people you think actually read the bill?
Let's say close to zero.
Three. The three people who were against it. The three people who actually read it said, no, this is horrible. This is long-term attacks on our individual liberties. This is all bad. We don't need this. And I had a woman sitting next to me jump up and go, I just want to feel safe, and I want to be able to go through the airport without anybody harassing me. I'll take real ID. I'll take fingerprints. I'll do all this stuff. And I, at the time, was, wow, mortified. We got it all.
Yeah, and this is a situation where the government sort of acknowledges, if you read into it, if you look at investigations done by the Pentagon, reports by the NSA, that this intelligence, far from keeping us safe, has actually failed to prevent a single attack. It's failed to be used in evidence in any terrorist attack that we've stopped. And we have stopped multiple terrorist attacks since 9/11. It just happens that it was traditional intelligence gathering, traditional police work that got us there, not snooping on everyone's iPhones and tracking what you're doing online. That has largely been more of a security risk for the country than it has been a benefit.
Yeah, and to be honest, if you were snooping on people's emails and in their cell phones and all this stuff, how come you didn't stop January 6th? I mean, at the end of the day, They weren't trying to hide it. Did you not read the Gab and the Parler and did you not read Parler? It was right there. You didn't need to spy. They put it right out. They actually recorded their treason for us.
They did. And this makes the broader point of this intelligence gathering behemoth we've created that sucks up almost $1 trillion over just the past few years. Couldn't even predict the fall of Afghanistan, where the majority of our overseas intelligence operations are based. This was as useless going in as it is coming out. I mean, at no point have these intelligence agencies demonstrated that the incredibly powerful tools that they've been given to dig into Americans' private lives without court orders in many cases have provided even one piece of useful intelligence. But they certainly have weakened our expectation of privacy and our expectation of personal freedom.
No, and this is where, you know, I feel for my kids, because I grew up in an era where, you know, you expected to have a little bit of privacy, at least in your papers and in your mind. You know, in your own home, you had some bit of privacy. We're in this moment now where my kids don't expect to ever have a moment of thought that someone isn't having access to. And that's frightening. I mean, the world they're growing up in, what we've done is frightening.
And there are companies now that have taken this huge government support for the intelligence and surveillance industry and essentially privatized the gains of that. Silicon Valley now is awash in private intelligence companies that will help you surveil immigrants, employees, students at school, students at a university, teachers at a university, anyone you want. They can customize tools to help you monitor them more effectively. And these are companies that government is now pushing as the next big wave of innovation. So they are not prepared to step away from this. They want to double down and make this surveillance America's leading export.
No, as you pointed out, the Senate had a supermajority in passing the Patriot Act, 98-1. The House overwhelmingly, you know, in the 400, plus to a handful. This passed overwhelmingly at the time. Do you think the tide of popularity has finally turned to where maybe overwhelmingly we can get rid of this, where you're going to have the same kind of votes? Or is this, as you've pointed out, you know, this is the next wave of industry, this is the next wave of control mechanisms, and the politicians and the folks who have the levers are a little less thrilled about giving it up?
Well, we're starting to see some pushback, and this is, I wish they had come out with this poll a week ago when I was writing the piece. A survey just came out today showing that for the first time, a majority of Americans have a negative view of surveillance and don't believe that it is a good trade-off to trade privacy and security rights for the illusion of better security from terrorism. Now, for you and me, that's mind-blowing. I remember in October of 2001, when 89% of Americans said they would sacrifice a significant amount of personal freedom for security. Now, 20 years on, that having been shown to be a lie, the majority of Americans are no longer willing to make that bargain. And that's at least good, makes me feel confident that we're headed in the right direction.
Well, how much of that do you think is, you know, it's been 20 years and the focus is now, people are finally realizing that they're the focus, not the Islamo-fascist terrorists that we were told they were going after, but actually us. You know, our phone records surveilled, our cell phones, our emails, anything you put on social media. How much of that is people have finally realized that they're the targets?
That's true. And this rise in dissatisfaction for surveillance is a generational change. It's people who are younger than me, who have a very innate understanding of technology, who don't need to be explained to how this works. In a way, in 2001, under President Bush, we were talking to my parents, who didn't have the slightest idea how surveillance technology worked, how the internet worked. You can't pull the wool over people's eyes now that they've had 20 years to familiarize themselves. And they've seen from their own data leaks the risk of having huge databases of information that people can hack or access, and suddenly your information is everywhere.
You listen to The Rick Smith Show here with Max Burns, Democratic strategist, columnist over at The Daily Beast. He's got a new piece out, Forever Wars Won't End If the Surveillance State's Still Here. It's over at The Daily Beast. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. But, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm remembering back during Bush's push for immigration reform. And one of the things that they wanted to do was they wanted to chip every immigrant coming in. And that was all the rage for a bit. I don't know if you remember Tommy Thompson, yep, who was the head of HHS, Health and Human Services at the time, saying that he was going to get chipped. Well, it was right around that time when my oldest daughter was born, and we had a guy come to the hospital and ask if, you know, if we wanted to have the kid chipped. And I'm going, no. He's like, well, you know, if she's ever abducted, you can find her. And I'm going, what if she doesn't want to be found? I mean, there were so many of these questions at the time that it was just incredulous to me that someone would offer that. And now you've got, you know, again, it seems like it's everywhere.
It is. And I also remember in that time period, Michael Chertoff, who was heading counterterrorism for the Bush administration, describing chipping children and chipping migrants as one of the most humane things we can do to ensure their rights are protected. It was a completely backwards time. And there are people who were born after 9/11, who were born well into this war, who don't remember just how frantic that push was and how urgently we were sold this idea that if we were not immediately surveilled, if our data wasn't available for the government without court order immediately, there would be an imminent attack. And those attacks never came. And as our intelligence gathering has shown, even if they were coming, it's unlikely anything that was done would have predicted it anyway.
Yeah. And the thing that gets me is you'll have people say, but Max, we haven't had a terrorist attack. You know, they're stopping things. I feel safe because nothing bad has happened yet. And there are going to be politicians who are going to go, no, we can't undo all this because it's keeping us safe. This illusion of safety and security, you know, the Ben Franklin thing. This illusion is just that, an illusion in most cases.
It is. And we have certainly had terrorist attacks since. In fact, the Boston Marathon bomber posted his intent and a plan for bombing the marathon on Facebook. It was scooped up by the NSA's Domestic Terrorism Data Surveillance Program. It wasn't acted on because they had scooped up so much data from Americans that they didn't have enough people to go through it all.
Yeah.
So what we've created essentially are now semi-permanent silos, just like we used to have farms in America. Now we have data farms, and that data lasts forever. And we still don't know the full extent of what's been collected. So that would be a critical first step for Congress, is getting some transparency in this process and stripping out those things like the remainder of the Patriot Act that have long since expired past their need.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, you know, because I've often said, I don't really care if someone's, you know, going through my emails. I hope somebody is, because I don't have time half the time. But, you know, if they're collecting all of this data, you know, who is analyzing it? You know, who's looking at all of this stuff? Or is it just being stored somewhere to be reactionary? And that's not what it's supposed to be. We were told this was going to prevent things, not be this heap of information after the fact. So I find it, you know, it's time we end this. So the question is there a push? And if there's not, how do we get a push to undo some of this stuff?
There is. And surprisingly, it's the progressive left and the libertarian conservatives who still sort of make up this small part of the Republican Party on the Hill, who have long been critics of the surveillance state. And now that these wars are over and any argument that they serve a foreign intelligence purpose has been disproven, they're looking at using this for either take your pick, for small government appeal, for civil liberties appeal. This is an issue that can unite left and right. And it's really these establishment defense industry Democrats and defense industry Republicans who are going to try and obstruct this at every turn.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we look at China and, you know, the surveillance state that is, and how far it, you know, how far down the road they are. And I've had people go, well, at least we're not doing that. And my answer was, well, yet, because eventually they will lull us into a position where all this stuff's happening because it's the latest, greatest new technology. Like every car in the country is going to have GPS under the guise of its vehicle avoidance software. So we know within inches of where your car is every second of the day.
Yeah. And China is a fantastic example. Their social credit system is an example of a country that has taken those silos and has actually put them to use. And it's actually so efficient. It controls so much of daily life that the Chinese government, by and large, has outsourced the oppression to friends and neighbors. Individuals now police themselves for fear of what a potential observed violation will mean for them. And that is a system that is not only possible in the United States, the only thing that prevents it is our political desire not to do it. And after what we saw on January 6th, I would not trust that desire to protect democracy goes too far.
No, you're right. And after what Texas just did on abortion, creating little bounty hunters who you're going to, the websites are, you know, are bogged down. There are people, I guess we're going to have, you know, venture capitalists, you know, tracking people's women's cycles so that they can check on them. Hell, Missouri did it. Why not some venture capitalist?
Yeah. And there are already individuals who have put forward things for automating the reporting process for individuals, making it easier for us to spy on and report each other to Greg Abbott in Texas. And if you think that companies in Silicon Valley that are working with police departments, that are working with the NSA, are not looking at how do we, within the realm of the law, quote unquote, monitor domestic protest groups, nonprofit organizations, you're crazy. They've already demoed that technology with multiple different organizations.
Yeah, it's already there. Something we got to fight back. That's why you got to read Max's most recent piece, Forever Wars Won't End If the Surveillance State's Still Here, written by Max Burns over at the Daily Beast. Make sure you check that out. We'll get links out. Max, as always, great talking with you. Excellent work. I can't wait to have you back again soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Our good friend Max Burns. Make sure you check out the piece. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Right back after this.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.